Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan. And it's been
all over you. It's for you, Jim Smith, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Beautiful day. Terps at Wisconsin. You can hear the game on The Fan. Watch it on NBC. We'll have that covered for you in big way. And then Keith Cavanaugh will be joining us tomorrow to preview the game a little bit more in detail. Birds back home tonight, taking on the Yankees, and all those, all their fans will be at Pickles. 6 o'clock tonight for Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, me, Joe LaCroix, Jim Hunter. And then tomorrow, it's me and Steve Molesky and Nolan McGraw, our final Friday. As I always say, don't come empty-handed as we
Tell my wife that, Bob.
Yeah, because I will judge you, and I will say things on the air. And because LaRashawn always shows up like 5 minutes after I'm leaving. So you always leave. Dude, you know the rules. From 6 to 7, I'm there. 7, I'm out the gate. But anyway, tonight, Yankees will be in town as they're still chasing Toronto. They gained a game last night. We'll get into the standings and all that fun stuff later. But right now, let's go down on the farm from OrielsHangout.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Joins us every Thursday, Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. Tony, what's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
All right. They're putting TV cameras in the studio. That means I'm going to have to shave and put my bottom teeth in of my dentures. I think
that
that's
doesn't
cool.
bode well for you at
no,
all.
It does not. I'm going to get a haircut, too. It's going to be great. But Enrique Bradfield, a couple years back, number one draft pick out of Vanderbilt, 80 speed, 80 glove of the grades and all the good stuff. Bat was always something, a work in progress. How has this year gone for him once he's gotten healthy? It looks like he percolated at AA and everything. So has the star started to ascend a little bit more for Bradfield? Every kind of got forgotten a little bit.
Yeah, I think he kind of spun wheels a little bit this year just because of the injuries. Again, you know, missing a lot of time. You know, he's only been able to get 299 plate appearances in this year with the hamstring injuries, and that's really just been holding him back. You know, he didn't show a lot of pop. We weren't expecting a lot of pop, but he really didn't show a lot of, really even the ability to drive the ball much, even when he was down in AA. So he's going to need to show that a little bit more. You know, he's getting a little taste of AAA here at the end of the year with Norfolk. And, he's battling. You know, obviously you get that first taste, you got to do what you got to do. But, he's definitely a guy that's going to need to stay healthy, get a full season next year in AAA, and hope that the numbers spike up a little bit, because the defense and speed are definitely going to be a plus for this team if he can hit a little bit.
All right, Tony, let's get to Sammy Basayo and Dylan Beavers, brief major league careers that they are. Your thoughts on how they've adapted to major league life. And we know the bats are kind of the thing, and Beavers' plate discipline is pretty impressive. But where's the glove potential for both right now?
Yeah, glove-wise, they're probably a little bit behind where the bats are. You know, I think we've seen that. You know, realistically, Basayo wasn't doing too bad until he had that just awful game a few games ago where I think he missed about anything that hit the dirt. And I think he dropped his blocks above average from about 0 to -4 in one game. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That's a really bad game. Both those guys, they're here because of their sticks. You know, Beavers is going to be an okay defensive outfielder. I made some comments about research what his issues were, and it just seems like he has trouble when he's about to collide into something, whether it's another fielder or whether it's a wall. He seems to really pull up, and that's when he drops the balls or saws the balls kind of fall in on him. But other than that, he's been a very solid outfielder. He gets some, he gets good jumps on the ball out there. He's got an above average throwing arm. So I think he's going to be just fine out defensively. And we've been, obviously, what he's done in his just initial first 83 at-bats here in the major leagues is very impressive. I mean, putting up a nearly a 900 OPS, showing a little bit of pop. You know, he's getting on base. He's being an on-base guy. He's really been that guy that you know, they kind of probably thought Holiday was going to be when you looked at the bat. Beavers has kind of been that guy right off the bat. So it's been really impressive watching him out there, just his approaches at the plate. Basayo's Basayo. The guy's going to be an absolute monster at the plate. You know, he's 21 years old, getting his first taste. I'm not too worried about the lack of fantastic numbers. Obviously, we've seen the flashes of power. It's going to be there. Is there going to be a little bit more chase? Is there going to be a little bit more miss? Sure, but he's also probably going to be a guy that's going to hit you 40, 45 home runs at some point in his career, so I think you're going to take some of that swing and miss.
Tony Pente, OrialsHangout.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on this Total Request Thursday. Who has been, Tony, the most impressive trade deadline acquisition in regards to the prospects?
Yeah, you know, a couple guys kind of, when you looked at a couple of pitchers stood out for me that came over. Especially, you know, it's a lot of guys he's not getting mentioned a lot, but a guy named Anthony Nunez that came over from the Mets, he has really been outstanding. He's throwing up to 98 miles an hour in AAA. The numbers have been off the chart when you look at the numbers against him, even the expected numbers against him, which we now can get because we have the StatCast data for AAA players. He's really stood out to me. I mean, he's a pure reliever. He's probably a guy that's going to stay in relief, but he could be a power arm, and he could be a guy that could be at the back end of a bullpen. So I think that he's a guy that really has stood out as the guy that's had the most success since coming over. Obviously, Jaron Watts-Brown has done okay with Chesapeake. Wellington Arocena has done pretty good down in Aberdeen. And I think a couple of the other guys have done okay. You know, I mean, I think we were hoping a little bit more for Boston Bateman, but he might be late in the year. But I think the upside there for that big hawking, 6 foot eight, 240, 50 pound left-hander is still pretty high.
Hey, Tone, is there any guys that you think will be on the 26 major league roster next year that are in the minors right now?
Yeah, you know, when you kind of look down at the guys that are probably the closest, the guys that could come up again, you know, probably when you look, it's probably mostly pitching. You know, we start looking at guys like I talked about Anthony Nunez or even a Trey Gibson that's up, and even though he hasn't had great success so far, I think he's a guy next year you're going to see him pitching at Baltimore at some point. He's got the stuff to be there. His expected stats have been much better than what the actual stats have been at AAA, and I think that will even out over time, and I think his talent will show out. So I think he's got an opportunity to be on the roster next year. You know, hitting wise, you know, you probably start looking at guys like Bradfield. He could be a midseason call up. Could he have a great spring and suddenly sprint his way into the center field conversation? Potentially, you know, potentially that's there. But I think those are the guys that probably jump out at me as guys that have pretty good opportunity coming out of the minor leagues.
Tony Pente, what's happening at OrialsHangout.com here on this Total Request Thursday?
We're always talking about the Orioles, the major and minor leagues. We're wrapping up the minor league season there, putting out the final prospect power rankings. We'll be working on our top 75 prospects, and we'll start having those be announced probably closer to the end of October, early November. We'll start adding, start putting those out so everyone can see who the guys they should be looking forward to next year.
Tony, appreciate it as always. Have a great day.
Great, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Tony Pente. We'll come back, whip around, talk about what's happening in the world of sports and what happened historically with the Orioles on this September the 18th. And then Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick will count down to the end of the season. Birds sweep the White Sox. They're 11-4 in the month of September. Oh, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around on this Total Request Thursday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Mike Bordick will be joining us bottom of the hour. Oriole Hall of Famer. D.C. City Council approved the Commanders to build their new stadium at the site of the old RFK. Council vote 11-2 in favor. Obviously, $3.8 billion project. You were at FedEx Field, now called whatever the hell it is. I've been to RFK to see the then Redskins and at FedEx Field, which is the worst stadium I've ever been to in regards to getting in and out. It's one. It was horrible.
The worst.
Yeah, but now you're kind of in the main thoroughfare. You're on hollow ground. For Washington football fans, finally gets done, should be open by 2030.
Yeah, and they'll be able to have a Super Bowl, Bob, you know, because it'll be a dome, and it'll be spectacular. It'll be great for the city. It's going to create jobs. It's, you know, it's what people have always wanted to go back there. Why? Because they had a ton of success there, and I was never in that state. Were you ever in it?
I've been there like five times.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like...
I used to live there. I was homeless in it. No. I always compared it to Memorial Stadium for Oriole games. That kind of vibe. It was. They're very similar in structure, and they were creaky and they shook. I hated the Redskins, but going to a game there was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, because FedEx was a piece of crap.
Yeah, no doubt.
It was put up in 9 months. You know, this one's taken what, 3 or 4 years? Like. You know, so it's going to be a beautiful thing, and there's going to be restaurants, and it's going to be like all the stadiums nowadays, what they are. And then the next thing that's going to happen, Bobby, is you watch. They're going to get the Redskin name back.
I don't see that happening.
I think that one will be – I'll bet you that one eventually comes back, too.
All right, we talked with Jim Smith, Maryland AD, about the Terps at Wisconsin coming up on Saturday. Maryland 9.5-point dogs against the Badgers. Other Big Ten games this weekend. Iowa at Rutgers. That is Friday night, 8 o'clock. Scarlet Knights, 3-0, but yet getting 2.5.
Yeah, well, Iowa has a hard time scoring. I mean, they have for years. You know, and they brought in the quarterback from, you know, wherever he came from. But they still, you know, I mean, like, Iowa State beat them, what, 13-10? They just can't score, Bob. I mean, they're good defensively. But they can't score. So if Rutgers puts up, you know, 17 points, probably going to win.
Oregon State is at Oregon. This one should be puffy pants. It's hammer time for those new to the show. Break out the puffy pants, hammer time. Oregon, 34.5-point favorites. They're undefeated. Michigan's at Nebraska. We'll do our picks tomorrow, of course.
That one's – and no coach for Michigan.
Biff Poggi
is – yeah. So that one's –
wonder if they have sleeves on. In Nebraska.
Well, he had to wear a Michigan outfit, which in the last game he did have sleeves on.
Because he's usually rocking them guns. 75 degrees, by the way. Wolverines 1.5 against Minnie Mahomes. And the Huskers, Notre Dame hosts Purdue. Notre Dame big favorites in this game. Still looking for their first win of the season.
Should be a puffy pantser.
Big game of all college football. Illinois at Indiana, number 9 versus number 19. Both teams undefeated. IU, 6.5-point favorites over the top 10.
We're going to find out a lot about Indiana, Bob. Illinois is a good team. They were good last year. Indiana was real good last year. Indiana started out, what, they went 73-0 last week? We're going to find out because Illinois is good.
Washington is at Washington State. Washington will be at Maryland next week. Washington undefeated. Washington State, they're 2-1, but the Huskies, 20.5-point favorites there. And then another interesting game. All right, kickoff's a little late for us old geezers. 11 o'clock Saturday, Michigan State 3-0 at the Trojans of USC, also undefeated.
Yeah, we're going to find out if one of those teams are really for real. And I question whether Michigan State is.
It's the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. September the 18th, this day in Orioles history, 1983. John Staffaro. Now big car grand poobah up there in Glen Burnie, right down the street from my house. Game-winning hit scores Glenn Gulliver. Eddie Murray hit a grand slam to tie this thing as the Orioles beat the Brewers 10-9 at Memorial Stadium on their way to the AL East. They would be clinching the division in about a week, by the way, on their way to their last World Series appearance. 1997, Oriole Park Cannon Yards against the Brewers, who were still in the American League at the time. Mike Bordick hit a home run. Yes, that Mike Bordick, who we're going to be talking to in about 5 minutes. Geronimo Barroa, 2-for-4 with a ribby. Mike Messina picked up his 15th win. Randy Myers, who was brilliant in 97, his 43rd save. And then in 2012 in Seattle, Nolan, got to be honest, I don't remember this one, but it was 18 innings. Taylor Teagarden and Mark Reynolds had 18th inning ribbies. Tommy Hunter get the win. Jim Johnson, who was good in so the playoffs, he was really good in 12. He got his 44th save. Orioles beat Seattle 4-2. 18 innings, something that doesn't happen nowadays unless it's a postseason game. Current day Orioles, they just swept the White Sox. And let's see, D. Kramer, Kyle Bradish, Tyler Wells all got the win. All going to be in the rotation, maybe. I'd still maybe rather see Wells in the bullpen, but he's pitching out of the rotation like he was in the first half of 2023. What does Mike Bordick think? We'll find out when we come back. Funhouse Trip with Quick Draw. Then news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from Tavius Robinson and Oway and Mark Andrews and others. Ravens back in practice today, getting ready for the Lions on Monday night. Buy or sell, 12:15. Speaking of the Lions, Vinny's film breakdown of their defense coming up at 12:30. It's Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. It's Vinny and Haney here on 105.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5-7 The Fan. Orioles just swept the White Sox. Birds 11-4 here in the month of September. Here to talk about that. And maybe more importantly, how the young guys have gotten themselves acclimated to the majors and the big offseason for Mike Elias, which now includes hiring a GM, maybe a manager, and a lot of other things that go along with it. He's Oriole Hall of Famer. He homered on this day, as we said, in 1997 against the Brewers, helping the Orioles win that game 4-3. He's our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, and he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, how you feeling?
Hey, Bob, much better. Thanks for telling me I had a home run today.
I think it was like 472 feet, if I'm not mistaken.
No, Nope, there ain't no way that ever happened. Might have been 372, a little paint scraper.
I think it rolled down a hill, and then they finally caught the ball a little bit later after that. And I don't want to sit here and talk about the woes of the 97 team, which, you know, I think we both agree was the best in baseball. So let's talk about this year's team, which we thought was going to be one of the best in baseball, not in the playoffs for the first time in three seasons. Mike, if you had to pick one reason, just one, that pops right into the top of your head, what's the one reason why the Orioles are in last place and not getting ready for their third straight postseason appearance?
Injuries, period. Yeah, everybody got hurt, man. All their top guys got hurt and then some and continued to get hurt. Yeah, just terrible news all the way through. Now, you know, there were a lot of teams that got hurt, but it was devastating to the Orioles because it cut so deep that it kind of opened the door to the weakness of the whole organization. So that led to this whole year, you know, the trade deadline, getting rid of guys, restocking with young players. So, yeah, the injuries just devastated the team and then the organization.
Now, with the lack of home runs this year, and maybe for Gunnar Henderson in particular, who hit 37, he was hurt coming out of spring training, started the year on the IR. The defensive metrics have been incredible. He's stealing bags at a career high. You know, I mean, he's still a stud and going to be an MVP-level player for many, many years. But what do you make of the lack of power for Gunnar in particular, because, I mean, the team last year was first and second in home runs all season long.
Yeah, I think offensively they have just been all over the map, right? Inconsistent-wise, runners in scoring position, some of our hitters that are supposed to be taking off have regressed. Actually, many have regressed. So I think that's something that has to be, you know, addressed, not just for Gunnar. And I'm not saying that the hitting coaches were the reason, you know, for the power outage or the hitting philosophy for that matter. I just think Gunnar's a young hitter. I think he's still learning about himself. He's figuring things out. Maybe he was a little dinged up early on coming off the IL. I loved how he used the whole field then, especially, and continues to do so. He's still just an incredibly exciting and dynamic young player that, you know, I think consistently should be up there in the 30-30 kind of range every year. I would like to kind of compare him to Bobby Witt Jr., you know, as they go forward. I think he is that kind of comparison. So it'll be fun to watch him go. I still think it was a great year, even though offensively a little bit down.
Now, speaking of offensive years that were somewhat down, Colton Cowser, speaking of injuries, he missed, what, 2 months? I mean, we're seeing a pop in the bat here late. K rate still relatively high, barely over the Mendoza line. But, I mean, we think, I do anyway, he's going to hit. What about defensively? If Colton Cowser's the Orioles' everyday center fielder next year, is that a good or bad thing?
Well, I think his whole game needs to be cleaned up. If you're selling me that he's a hitter you can trust in the lineup, but my gosh, he goes as cold as any hitter in baseball for like a month at a time. So yeah, there's a huge upside to him, but he's got to find consistency offensively to be able to lessen those downtimes. And I thought that might have happened by now, or at least improved this year, but it hasn't. I think he's one of the guys you put in there as far as regressing. And even defensively, he needs to clean his act up a little bit. He's got a strong arm, but he has no idea where the heck it's going. And I think he's got a pretty good baseball IQ. I think he covers some ground pretty well. But he has to get familiar with warning track stuff as well. So, you know, so many of these young guys have to show some sort of improvement in that regard, or he's going to end up getting hurt again next year running into walls the way he does. Like, he forgets that there's an outfield wall out there sometimes.
Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's get to the rotation, and in particular, Tyler Wells, great yesterday. He's been great since he came back. Very reminiscent, Mike, of what he was in the first half of 23 when he helped the Orioles, you know, win the AL East. They got moved to the bullpen, got sent back, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Your preference for Tyler Wells in the Orioles' pitching staff next year would be what?
Wow. Man, oh, man. I know. I like him at the back end of the bullpen. I just feel like he's an imposing kind of figure, kind of like a Batista. I think he'll be able to, you know, get his velocity up a click more in a bullpen kind of situation. He seems just like an unflappable guy, so you trust him a little bit more at the back end, at least in my opinion, watching him a couple years ago, you know, as a closer. I think he's got just really good experience now. I think he understands kind of what it takes. I think he realizes his game a little bit better. But ultimately, I know that he's an incredible team player. He'll do whatever is asked of the team. But, man, oh, man, if he stepped forward and said, I'd love to be the closer if you guys need one, man, that would go a long way. And that would just kind of just exude that confidence, say, all right, let's go. We got this guy we can lock down. Let's go get a couple guys to support him, and off we go.
Hey, Morty, now that there's 10 games left, you've been eliminated, and what's the approach of the players for the last 10 games, you think?
Well, Vinny, I hope they still have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and want to show the Yankees, you know, that, okay, you guys might be going to the postseason, but we can still leave a little mark on you and let you know that we're going to be here next year and we're going to be competitive. And so watch out for us. Listen, the Orioles have just another nice little wave of young players that you hope the Yankees leave by going, oh, my gosh. Here they come again. And what if they add a couple pieces? So just to get in their heads a little bit, I think, is a nice way, you know, to get that chip on your shoulder, because you can't just, you know, la-di-da the rest of the way. There's no way. You better have an edge. You got to finish strong. And you got to finish with a little dignity. You know, play the game hard. Stay professional out there. And do what you did to the White Sox, right? Be aggressive. Play with your hair on fire, and some good things are going to happen.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Bordy, we have two BBTs at Pickles next week. You going to be part of one of them?
Well, I hope so. My goodness. Yeah, the season ends up going by in a hurry. But, you know, I'm excited about the football season, I guess, as a Baltimore sports fan. But let's finish this baseball season strong. Yeah. Love to see everybody down at Pickles.
No, I'm just, yeah, I'm saying, I don't know. Who am I working with next week? trying to figure it out here in real time. Mike Bordick.
Bob, I'm trying to be a salesman here, brother. Holy shit, Bob.
Mike Bordick. Mike, appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend, all man. Right. We'll see you soon.
All right, Bob.
Thanks, Bordick.
There's a real Hall of Famer. Mike Bordick, who homered on this day 28 years ago. We'll come back, say hi to Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw, take a trip through the funhouse, get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. We're tabulating that as we sit here. News from the Nest, top of the hour. Going to hear from the Ravens as they get ready for the Lions back at practice today. Buy or sell, where's the late week dough? Hopefully we're counting that. And Vinny's film breakdown of the Detroit defense. Ravens have put up 81 points. In two games, what kind of resistance will they provide? For Featured Artist Friday as well, Bob Andy Serrato and Nolan McGraw. So without further ado, let's bring Nolan in pretty much for the first time today. Quick draw, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I know there's a lot of angst out of you over those cameras over there. And I was just talking to some of our engineers over here. And I mean, I'm just thankful that there isn't one pointing at me.
Yeah. You don't get one?
I mean, it might be coming. Yeah. I don't want to speak too soon. You know, I don't want to start bragging.
Because we all, like what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always bring you into the program. You're an integral part of what we do. I'd figure you do have a camera in your grill, too.
Well, maybe at some point. But yeah. I'm fine without it. Look, I like being the random voice in the background, like the Phantom of the Opera. Or, every once in a while
Wizard
you hear
of
from
Oz.
Yeah, nobody gets to see the wizard, right?
Till the end. Spoiler alert.
Or pay no attention to the man behind the glass. That's what we should say. That's what we should say.
But yes, that's going to happen eventually. So, you know, nothing like watching a bunch of slack jaws slobbering into their microphone talking about sports.
Speak and for yourself.
Yeah.
What a benefit do we get out of it, Bob?
Another attaboy.
Well, it is another opportunity. I know I've already had a couple people calling and texting after you mentioned the cameras on air, saying, hey, is streaming coming? I can't wait. So, you know, it's another outlet for people to listen to the show on, which is great.
All right. You're right. It's spinning into a positive.
Well, it's no spin. It is a positive.
Oh, okay.
If it gets ratings up there, bonus, baby, bonus.
Yeah.
We are a no spin zone show.
We are?
I want that known right now. There's no spin here.
No spin. We keep it real because that's what we do. We keep it real because we keep it real. You want to go to Funhouse or you want to pontificate on the Orioles sweep, the Lions game coming up here? What do you want to do here?
I mean, look, this Orioles team, man, I mean, I keep going back to that mixed feeling topic that I brought up yesterday is that as great as they're playing right now, you're just sitting there saying, where was this? You know, because from a talent level, this is not even close to what you had pre-deadline. All right, Beavers and Basayo are nice. Good addition there. They weren't here before that. But to lose Laureano and O'Hearn and the list goes on and on and on, a completely depleted bullpen, I thought they were going to completely bottom out and crater. At one point earlier this year, when all the losing was going on in April and May, you know, we were looking at the pace that they were on, win percentage, and it was starting to look dangerously close to 17 and 18 with those teams struggling to win 60 games or in the low 60s to begin with. And I thought that this year might end up being the same, especially after the deadline. But here we are. It's kind of a ragtag group. They're not perfect, but they're getting results. And consider me shocked, but consider me happy as well because
they had that crappy stretch at the end of August, which for all intents and purposes finished whatever slim wild card hopes we may have had. Would they get to like 6.5 out of the last one? But hey, they're 11-4 in September. They had the debacle in Toronto where they got it handed to them two of the three games. Should have won the Saturday game, but that's kind of been the MO of the season. They were 1-for-11 yesterday, runners in scoring position. That's been a dilemma going back to last season. They just don't hit the home runs they did in 24 to mask that. But I still think in the offseason, now there's two starters because injuries are real, a power bat in the middle of that lineup, unless O'Neill can stay healthy, which his career track record says he won't, and they need a closer. But Wells, what do you think, Nolan? Wells is looking pretty good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Very reminiscent. We go back to the All-Star break of 23. He had the lowest whip as a starter in the American League. At the All-Star break, then kind of flamed out in the second half, wound up getting sent back to the minors, but pitched well out of the bullpen. So I don't know. I don't know what to do.
So at the very least, he's going to help the team next year.
Sure.
We can say that. Whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen, they've got holes to fill either way. So if he can fill one of those and he's there and healthy for the entire season, I don't care where it is. I was originally in that bullpen camp, especially when you were starting to look for more of a back-end guy. His profile, I think, fits that quite nicely. And there are concerns. You know, forget the major injury this past year, but there was little stuff in the past with him, that nickel and dime stuff that would keep him out for short periods of time. And you figured putting him in the bullpen might be able to help avoid that a little bit. And I guess that could still be the case, but I don't know. I mean, I think, to me, the way he's pitching these last three starts, how can you take him out of the rotation?
What do you look for in a starter that you want to say that he's the back end of the bullpen guy?
Kind of a swing guy, like a Suarez-y sort of dude.
So I think his last start against the Pirates, it was that StatCast night that Masson did. And there's a lot of information being thrown out on that broadcast. But the one thing that caught me was they were talking about Tyler Wells' pitch mix and how the ball coming out of his hand on the fastball and one of his off-speed pitches, it comes out, and that initial point, it's exactly the same. And it's extremely hard for the hitter to detect, all right, is this thing going to be a heater, or is this thing going to be moving on me a little bit? And when you think about, or you think about some of the best closers or some of the best back-end relievers in the game, even Bautista was like that. Prime Zach Britton was like that. When the ball is coming out of their hand, you don't know what it's going to be. Is this thing going to drop off the table, or is it coming right at me?
And as Mike Bordick said, couple of segments or last segment, You know, maybe Wells out of the bullpen, the velocity plays a little better than it does pitching out of the rotation. But it's up to Mike Elias, the new grand poobah with the fancy title there, and I'm assuming a pay raise as well, to supplement the rotation. We can go back again to last year when Means came back and they had all these healthy players returning. Like, oh, they got too many guys. They're wealthy.
That was a fun week.
And then all of a sudden they started dropping like flies. And at the end of the season, you're trading for starting pitchers. But we got Cade Povich tonight taking on Max Fried. Very similar physically. But Max Fried's track record is one of all-star Cy Young level. Where Cade Povich, maybe speaking of back of the rotation guys, we'll see. I mean, we see glimpses, but I don't know. I'm not sold on him being a member of my five-man staff.
Yeah, a little disappointed with Cade's season, and it didn't help that he had more missed time. I mean, I'm happy that he got over 100 innings pitched. I mean, there's that. But I was thinking a lot more out of him, especially earlier this year when other guys were getting injured. It was a prime opportunity for him, and he had a fantastic spring training. I mean, easy to forget now, but it was him and Albert Suarez actually battling for the last spot in the rotation. Povich earned it straight up. He was the better guy in spring training. And just for the results to not be there, more injury stuff, I don't know. Maybe I'm losing a little hope in the kid.
Man, I was reading this morning on Mass and BaltimoreBaseball.com that Suarez seeking the always fun second opinion.
That's not good.
On the elbow. We'll come back. We got news from the Nets. We're going out to one winning drive yesterday. Rashad Bateman, Tavius Robinson, Mark Andrews, Roger Rosengarten, Teddy Buchanan, Adafe Owe, among others, met with the media in the locker room. Ravens back at practice today at 1 o'clock. So we'll have the attendance report, hopefully, by the time we get off at 2. So news from the Nest is next. Buy or sell, late week money. Hopefully counting that at 12:15. And the sports subjects of the day and Vinny's film breakdown of the Detroit defense going up against this Baltimore offensive line. Derrick Henry was stymied yesterday or last week. I don't see that being duplicated.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.